Open your Bibles to Philippians. How many of you got your Bible? Where you hold it up? Way up. Wave it around a little bit. Give the Lord a wave offering. Amen. Thank God for the Holy Bible. Which one? Ain't one. A reporter was interviewing Harry S. Truman, who was president of the United States during World War II. And they were asking him about the Bible. And he told that reporter he had read the King James Bible through 3 times before he entered grade school. And they asked him which Bible he preferred. He said, "There's only one." Said, "There's one God, one faith, one baptism, one Lord." Said, "There ain't one Bible." Amen. Now that was old cussing Harry Truman. He believed this book. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Philippians chapter, how many chapters are there in Philippians? 4? Okay, I'm in chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 4. Just one verse, okay? I'm going to preach fast, so y'all listen fast. Okay? Verse 4, where it said, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say, rejoice. Amen. Amen. Our Father, bless the Word of God to the hearts of your people. Help your unworthy servant now for a little bit. God, speak in our hearts. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to preach a little while on "I Got Something to Shout About." Amen. Amen. This epistle to the Philippians has been called the Book of Joy. The word sin does not appear in the Book of Philippians. You can't have sin, have joy. Amen. In this Book of Philippians, Paul's writing about joy and rejoicing. And if you study the life of this dear man of God, the Apostle Paul, you can learn pretty quick, neighbor, that he knew something about suffering and sorrow. I mean, he was beaten and stoned. I mean, he knew about being shipwrecked. He wrote this little book of Philippians. While he was sitting in a jailhouse, he knew something about hardships, neighbor. But here, he's writing about joy. Somebody said happiness is the result of what's happening around us. But joy is the result of what's happened on the inside. Amen. In our text, Paul said, "Rejoice." And again, I say, rejoice. I'll tell you, neighbor, I've been saved by grace through faith. And I've got something to shout about. I mean, I've been saved, had my sins washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ, the crucified one. And for me personally, that's shouting ground right there. Amen. You can talk about a lot of things that I don't know anything about. You talk about wealth and riches of this world. I don't know anything about that. I've never had much in the way of riches. You can talk about being aristocratic and all that and up to doing society. I don't know anything about that. I don't know nothing about computers and iPhones and all that. I don't even know how to turn a computer on. Amen. Ain't that a blessing? I don't know anything about any of that, but I'll tell you what. If you want to talk about being saved, if you want to talk about being sealed, if you want to talk about being secure, if you want to talk about being satisfied, if you want to talk about being shouting happy, then I'll talk. Hey, I got something to shout about. Woo! I'm glad many years ago I got a dose of old-timey Holy Ghost, heaven-sent, blood-bought, sin-killing, shouting, happy salvation. Amen. And I'll tell you, I've never been the same. It's more real to me than the breath I breathe. I'll tell you, I'm an old-fashioned Baptist, neighbor, with a capital B. I mean, from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, I'm a Baptist. Amen. But I'll tell you what, I'm glad the Lord Jesus got me before the Baptist did. Hallelujah. Hey, I'm a preacher. I'm a husband. I'm a father. A grandfather. A friend. But more than anything on the top side of this planet, I'm saved. Born again. Hallelujah. God put something down in my heart. Hey, that Ajax won't get out. I mean, God put something down in my heart that gets discouraged every once in a while. Gets to bubbling like a well. That wind gets to blowing. Well, thank God, I got a shouting happy salvation. I ain't never got over it. They said it would, but I ain't. I first started preaching. My pastor let me preach on a Wednesday night. I'd been preaching about 2 months, and on that Wednesday night, he let me preach, and we had a quartet in the church, and they had microphones sitting everywhere, and I mean, he put me up there to preach, and I took a text, and took a fit. Amen. I was shouting all over the place, knocking over. Hey, I probably never did say nothing. I was knocking over microphones after the service. An old feller, I didn't know it then, but he was a critical type guy. I didn't know it then, but he come up to me and shook my hand and said, you know what? You're a fanatic. I grabbed his hand, and more out of the shot. Thank you, Brother Aubrey. Thank you, thank you. And when we got in the car to go home, hey, I looked over at Sue, and I said, you know what? Brother Aubrey said I was a fanatic. And my chest was poked out, and I was proud. She said, you idiot. Said, you idiot. I said, he wasn't digging on you. He was criticizing you, making fun of you. I said, well, what does fanatic mean? She said, I don't know, but I know he wasn't bragging on you. When I got to the house, I got the dictionary, and I looked up that word fanatic, and you know what it said? It said someone who is highly enthused about a matter, especially a religious matter. Woo, glory! Hey, I throw that dictionary up in the air, and I said, that's me. I fit the bill. Hallelujah. I'm a fanatic. Woo! Let me give you something. Why I'm shouting happy. Number one, that was a sacrifice made for me. Yeah. Over 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ went to Calvary, and the ultimate sacrifice was made for me. Hebrews 9:26 said, but now once in the end of the world hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Hallelujah. We sing those blessed old songs about the cross. At Easter time, we celebrate the Lord's resurrection with lilies. Some folks put on new clothes to point out that the Lord arose in the newness of life, and was clothed in shining garments, and the grave clothes was left behind. And hey, in all of that, if we're not careful, we'll lose sight of what He came to do and what He did for us. Hebrews 9:28 said, He will appear the second time without sin unto salvation. I'll tell you, neighbor, he won't be coming the next time to deal with sin. Thank God that was finished at Calvary, where he sacrificed himself for our sins. I'll tell you, sin had left man without hope. Sin had left man without peace, without righteousness, without hope. But hallelujah to the Lamb. The Lord came to put away this destructive monster that we call sin. The sacrifice for me has been made. It was made at Calvary. The door of heaven has been opened for me. That's why, brother, I'm glad for that winter night when sin's burden was pressing down upon my soul. My life was wrecked. I was hell bound. But thank God the sacrifice was made for me. I can tell you, neighbor, I'm shouting happy tonight because the sacrifice was made for me. Let me give you a little picture and I'll move on. In the Old Testament time, let's say the priest was in the temple and a man and a woman comes in. And they're poor and needy and sunk into sin's deep mire. And maybe this man's a criminal and this woman, her life is in the gutter. And they come in and they hand that priest the bird or the lamb that's to be their sacrifice. You know what, neighbor? That priest, he don't look at them. They're insignificant. He don't even look at them. All he does is look at that lamb or look at that bird to see if it's accepted. Glory. I'm glad that night many years ago when I walked down the aisle of the 11th Avenue Baptist Church and nobody jumped up and said, wait a minute now, we got to know all about you, your pedigree and all that stuff. No. He wasn't looking at me. He was looking at the sacrifice that had been made 2,000 years ago. And God said, it's accepted. And I was accepted in the beloved. Hallelujah. Several years ago, a lady from Cleveland, Georgia, called me. And she said, we're doing a book about the Nix clan. You know, back when genealogies and all this stuff was so, it was going on. And she said, we're going to do a book on the Nixes, and said, we want you to be in it. And I said, well, that's fine. I'd be interested in that. And she said, you're a preacher. And I said, yes, ma'am. She said, you know, there hadn't been very many preachers in the Nix clan. And I said, but wait a minute, my brother's a preacher. Your brother? Yeah. And I said, his son is a preacher. Really? I said, my son's a preacher. She said, my goodness, we'll do a whole chapter and we'll come out and make photographs. And said, we'll do a whole chapter on the Nick, the preachers here and the Nixes. And then she said, now tell me again, your great-grandpa's name was? And I said, his name was John Henry Nix. And your grandpa's name? I said, his name was Grady Henry Nix. And she said, your grandmother, grandmother, what was her great-grandmother? Said, what was her name? I said, her name was Matilda Bowers. And she said, you mean Matilda Bowers Nix? And I said, no, ma'am, it was just Matilda Bowers. I said, they, her and John Nix lived together all them years. They had all them young'uns, but they never did get married. And she was ready to hang up. She didn't want to put me in the book anymore.
No, but I'm glad, hallelujah, to the Lamb. No, when I came down the aisle, brother, God didn't turn me away because of my standing, because of my social ability. Hey, He accepted me in the beloved, amen. Because the sacrifice is made for me. Yeah.
I'll tell you something else. Why I'm shouting happy. Because this salvation I have is forever. I mean, Paul said in Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ. Well, I'm in Christ. Hallelujah. Positionally, that's where we all are. If we're saved, we are in Christ. We're just as secure as Christ Himself because we are in Him. He's eternal. That makes us eternal. Let me give you two or three things about this salvation I'm shouting happy about. Listen, this salvation I have is exclusive. I mean, it's exclusive in the fact that its author is living. The author of our salvation is living. Hallelujah. Acts 1:3 said, to whom He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs. There's no other religion, no other denomination, no other creed that can furnish a living author. Amen. I'll tell you, our Lord got up from the tomb and He walked away, thank God. And He had the keys of death and the hell. Amen. Amen. The followers of Buddha and Muhammad and all the rest of them pagan religions, they can point to a founder, and they can point to a founder's grave where their bones have already turned to dust. But hallelujah, we can say He is not here. He is risen, like He said.
Amen. Amen.
This salvation I'm shouting about is exclusive in that the author is living. And then it's exclusive. I'm shouting happy about it because it's essential. Salvation's a must. I mean, ye must be born again. No heaven. I mean, without salvation. No salvation, no heaven, neighbor. Salvation is essential. And then it's expensive. Amen. It's free to us, but it's expensive, neighbor. How expensive is our salvation, preacher? Well, it cost heaven its most valued treasure in the blessed Son of God. The price of our salvation was not silver or gold, but the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Hallelujah. He lay aside His royal diadem to wear a crown of thorns. He laid aside His kingly garments to wear a peasant's garment. He laid aside the honor He had with the Father and was spit upon and beaten and abused and nailed to a rugged cross. How could this happen to Him? How could this take place? I'll tell you, neighbor, He was purchasing eternal redemption for us.
Most expensive purchase the world's ever known. Up in Dearborn, Michigan, there's the Ford Museum.
And they got all kind of stuff in there, in that museum. They got the car President Lincoln was, President Kennedy was riding in when he was assassinated. They got that car sitting there. And then they got a chair sitting there. And it's all stained red down this. That was a chair President Lincoln was sitting in And John Wilkes Booth came up behind him and put a bullet to the back of his head, right behind his ear. And then in a glass case, they've got a blue dress. And down in here on that blue dress, it's stained dark. It's dark. And there was a young officer, army officer, and his bride with President Lincoln there in that box at Fort Theater. When President Lincoln was shot, she got down and cradled his head in her lap. And they have that dress there in that glass case. I asked the man who was telling me about it. I said, "What's that worth?" He said, "There ain't enough money in the world to buy that dress." And I thought about this. President Lincoln, 1863, signed the Emancipation Proclamation and set the black people free. But on Calvary's dark hill, neighbor, the Lord Jesus Christ shed His precious blood to set all men free. And if that blue dress is that valuable, how much more the value of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who redeemed us, amen, who washed our sins away, and gave us life and liberty, and gave us something to live for, amen. I'm shouting happy tonight. That's His salvation. And then I'm shouting happy because of the promise of His sure return.
Amen.
I read somewhere where when the early church came together, they would greet one another by saying, "He is risen." And then when they dismissed and parted, they would say to each other, "Till He comes." I sure like that, don't you?
Hell yeah.
They did that because they knew He got up from the dead that third morning, and that He had a sure promise. He gave them a promise. The one that had conquered the tomb promised them that He would come back again. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven. It ain't going to be Moses or Elijah. It ain't going to be E.T. or the Lone Ranger. It's going to be the Lord Jesus Himself. He's coming. It's not Paul over there in 1 Thessalonians. He's not talking just about His arrival. He's talking about us being in the direct presence of the Lord Jesus Christ forever.
Amen.
Some folk can make a promise and ain't worth a flip. Just empty, hollow words. You can look at a person's character and how they've kept their word in the past and get a pretty good idea of how much you can depend on their promise. Peter said this about the Lord. He said, "In His mouth is found no guile." Pilate said, "I find no fault in Him." The soldier said, "Never a man spake like this man." I'll tell you, neighbor, we have the word of the pure, spotless, sinless Son of God. He said, "If I go away, I will come again." That's a sure promise. I started my journey toward that many mansion city many, many years ago. And there's been many trials down through the years. A lot of heartache. I've stood and watched dreams shattered. For the last 25 years, been watching my wife suffer. But in the last several years, it's gotten so much worse. She's going down by the day. Been married 51 years, Brother Charlie. A couple of years ago, before her mind got so bad, she's got Alzheimer's, lung cancer. They think she's got pancreatic cancer. Several other things. A couple, 3 years ago, before she got so bad, we were sitting out on the porch and an old swing sat there. Oh, she was hurt. I mean, she was going through it. I said, honey, if I could, God would let me. I'd take all your pains and all your suffering and bury it in my body. I said, one of these days when we get to heaven, all pain and suffering and all the things that you've been through, she laid her head on my shoulder. She said, honey, when we get to heaven, it won't matter then.
Amen.
Amen. It won't matter. I buried my loved ones, church members. I've made so many trips to the cemetery and funeral. I got two sisters right now. My oldest sister, my baby sister. My baby sister just got out of intensive care. They thought she'd die. And she may yet. My brother David texted me early this morning. He said my older sister, they'd had to fly her, or lift her to Atlanta, unresponsive. Buried a lot of loved ones. Seen a lot of sickness. Pardon. But there will be a glad reunion day for God's little people. Years ago, Billy Sunday and R.G. Lee and Homer Rodenhaver, Billy Sunday's song leader, was sitting on the porch of Billy Sunday's house at Winona Lake in Michigan. And they said Dr. Lee was just staring way off at him, watching the sun go down. And Billy Sunday asked him, said, what are you thinking about, Dr. Lee? He said, well, I was just thinking about what's out yonder beyond the sunset. Homer Rodenhaver went home and he wrote that blessed song. And the last verse of it says, beyond the sunset, oh glad reunion, with our dear loved ones who gone before. In that fair homeland, we'll know the parted beyond the sunset forevermore. Shouting happy tonight.